Welcome. We're so glad you're here. If there are any kids here today, we have kids' bins. Where are they, Marcus?
By the church door.
Just inside.
Yes, you have to go in the church through the back doors, and then they're just on the right there. And we wanted to remind you to try and bring food a little bit every week if you can to the community care bins. There's lots of need in our community, and that's a great way for us to serve our community. There's lots of VBS information. So there is an announcement in the bulletin, which I'm going to read, and then there's some extra stuff on top. So listen up. Okay. Our program is almost full, and we are very excited to have so many wonderful volunteers to work with campers. We can always use a few more crew leaders, even if it's just for a day or two. So please reach out to Megan or Marion if you're available during the week. And it starts on Monday, tomorrow. Volunteers are asked to pick up a t-shirt from the table in the narthex, unless you already have one at home. We'll want to be able to see you in the neon yellow all week. And that way the kids know who the volunteers are and who they can go if they need help. All volunteers are asked to check their email for a volunteer update and a link to a training video and volunteer form. And I really enjoyed that video. That was really well done. Good job. And it's really quick. Just listen to it, and then there's a little form to fill out, and then you're good to go. Nut free baking, thank you very much, can be dropped off in the church kitchen before or during VBC. And we thank everyone in the congregation for their support and prayers. All right, some extra VBC announcements. We have a few spots still remaining. So tomorrow, in person, on a first-come, first-served basis, we can have a few people join us. But like we said, it's first-come, first-served. And once we're full, we're full. If you have a bowling ball, Marion needs it for a VBC, so you can contact her. She'll come and pick it up. So give her a call or come see her after the service, and then she'll make arrangements with you, and she'll come and pick it up. We need it for our storytelling. And also a 2-liter empty pop bottle. 2-liter empty pop bottle. If you have one of those in your recycling bin, we would love it for tomorrow. All right, Stephanie and Marcus. Why couldn't the teddy bear finish his dessert? Why couldn't the teddy bear finish his dessert?
Because he was stuffed.
There, we have something to say about dessert, so we thought we'd do a dessert joke. Next Sunday, on July 21st, join us for a special VBC worship service at 10:30. The service will be dedicated to the VBC as we sing the songs, pray, and hear from kids and volunteers, and have a short message from Pastor Tim. After the service, we will all enjoy a free sweet treat. So that's next Sunday. After worship today, the display is up for VBC. Come and have a look. It looks amazing. We ask you to look with your eyes and not touch the display. Elaine Vandenberg worked really, really hard on it for the last few weeks. So we thank her very much. I know she doesn't want the credit, but we're going to give her some credit. Thank you so much, Elaine. And have a look at it today, because next week it'll be gone already. So today is the day. Go inside and have a look at the display. All right, are you ready? Please bow your heads in worship or for prayer.
God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the birds and the animals, the flowers and the trees, the lakes and the streams, and the sun that rises and sets over them each day. Thank you for creating everything we see.
Thank you for bringing us together outside on this nice day to worship you. We pray that you would open our hearts in worship today. May your Holy Spirit move among us during this service, that we could hear what you have to say to us. Change us and transform us according to your perfect will.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Golf Family. We invite you to sing our first song with us, Lord, I Need You.
Bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. In my wrestling, yeah.
I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly. Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
It is good to be back. My family and I had a nice vacation. Not quite so much that I trust the Florida tan I have on my head. So I have sunscreen on my head, and much like our vacation, I was very much wanting to not get burned. So if you see me weeping today, it's the sunscreen in my eyes. Most likely. We're going to have our time of prayer. If you have any prayer requests to share, raise your hand and I might just re-announce it from here. Just before we get to those, though, I'll have a couple of announcements here. I just want to talk about something that is uncomfortable to talk about, which is violence. Mostly because we just saw, for those who heard the news, that there was an assassination attempt yesterday, or a shooting yesterday at a political rally in America. And the reason I think it's important for us to talk about this is because there are so many emotions that come along with this. Right? When we look to the news, when we look to people, one thing that is perhaps the most disappointing, and maybe even the most human, is how quick everyone has been to try and paint this shooter as a part of that opposite group. Part of that opposite political persuasion, right? He's not like us, he's like them. It's their fault this is happening. As if all of this political discourse isn't something we're a part of too. And this boy who has lost his life, and I say boy because he was 20 years old, he was a child, was able to get his hands on a weapon of great violence, was able to get close enough to go in to shoot people, and didn't see any of those other people at the rally as humans, but just as collateral damage in the way. And this, to me, is what speaks to the heart of where we are maybe as Christians in North America, right? That we are so quick to want to other people. We're so quick to want to make people into our enemies. It's us against them. We have to overcome. We have to overpower. That we miss that somehow we raised a child who is so quick to throw his life away for violence. Because he believed in the myth of redemptive violence. That's how we make peace, by killing that other person. That's how we're going to get through. So what do we do in the midst of all of that trouble? Well, we look to Jesus. Jesus was at a time of great political turmoil, of great violence as well. And how does Jesus respond? By making peace. By being a peacemaker who enters into the difficult, dark places and still brings love. Who enters into the darkness and shines brightly. Who brings resurrection power and hope to those places we only see death and despair. So we continue to look to Jesus, and we continue to turn our ears to his teaching, because he commands us to love our neighbors. He commands us to love our enemies, and he shows us what that looks like. Jesus is the one who loves that person we don't like. Jesus is the one who loves our enemies. Jesus is the one who loves the people we hate. Who loves that boy who lost his life shooting, who loves the person he was shooting at, who loves the people who lost their lives, who loves the people who were doing the shooting. The way of Jesus challenges us, doesn't it? It is so much easier to be angry, to hate, to be fearful, and to hide. But Jesus calls us to love anyways. We will not overcome the violence in our world through grand actions. You will never be called to go on some great stage and somehow find a way of bringing peace to the world, but you will be called to have opportunities to love people one at a time. And it is in those simple acts of love, those simple acts of peacemaking, that we will start to see the kingdom of God come into reality in our world. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. May we be peacemakers like Jesus. May we love as Jesus has loved us. May we be the love that changes the world one neighbor at a time. So I just wanted to reflect on that. I do have two announcements here, and then we'll take some other announcements. I know, Marlies, you had your hand up there. I do want to recognize that we have the flowers here from Rudy Peters' funeral. Rudy Peters would be the nephew of Erna Carnelson and the cousin to Carla and Ziggy, so relations deep within our community. So we prayerfully mourn the loss of Rudy, and we pray alongside his family for peace as they mourn. I'll also note that we had one of our sister churches up in Waterloo, Waterloo North Mennonite Church. Their pastor, Pastor Kendra Whitfield Ellis, just passed away suddenly and surprisingly yesterday. So they are a community in grief. So we pray alongside them and her husband, Peter, and her two children, Kiana and Ollie. So there's a lot of grief to go around and a difficult Sunday morning for that community as they gather together. Now, I'll ask, so after all that, so please, if you have any other prayer requests or joys to share, please raise your hand. Trudy said she will be sharing her joy and peace and love through lemonade. If you'd like lemonade, it will be over there, and it is entirely free. Entirely free. You just have to slip your pastor $5 and he gives you a ticket. Yeah. No. Or losing some music there. No, of course. Entirely free. We appreciate it. Thank you very much, Trudy. Do you want to come up on mic, Marlies, or do you just want me to repeat it? Okay.
We got Harder's thanks for meeting. She's just home from the hospital after almost 5 weeks, and she thanks everyone.
right? That's Rita Harder has been able to return home from the hospital. That's the West Lincoln Hospital, too, right? Which is in Grimsby. We'll talk about naming hospitals later, after the place where you are. That was very confusing. I was able to go in to see her once there. I'm glad to hear that she's been able to go home. Any other announcements or prayer requests? And of course, remember in prayer, we do have our VBC, our Vacation Bible Camp, starting tomorrow, and that's exciting. So please, for those who aren't able to physically be here and participate alongside us, your prayers participate alongside us in loving each of those kids, giving them another opportunity to experience the love of Jesus and a community here. So please be in prayer for them and our leaders as we embark on this very fun, but also pretty long week for some of us serving. All right, let's pray together. I will invite you to do the Lord's Prayer alongside with me. I don't have that printed in the bulletin this week. We hope to get that fitted in next week. But so please pray whatever version you know as best you know it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are near and present. We pray for each of your children here that you would open our ears and our eyes to see you all around us, to hear your whispers in the wind, in the sounds of animals and life, the whispers in our heart calling us to draw nearer to your love. Lord, I pray that each person here would experience your love deeply and in real ways this week. That we would be so filled with your love that we would be able to go out into the world and let that spill over into each person we meet. Lord, we pray alongside the so many families that are grieving. We pray alongside the Cornelsons who have lost a nephew and a cousin. Lord, have mercy. We pray alongside our church up in Waterloo who has lost a pastor, a spouse, a mother. Lord, have mercy. And Lord, we think of all of the people, particularly for our neighbors to the south, who are experiencing turmoil and uncertainty, who have experienced great violence that they've been able to see on TV, who have experienced the violence in rhetoric and rhetoric in the words, but also physically seeing it happen. Lord, we pray that you would start to sow seeds of peace. That you would work through your people serving in your churches, serving as part of your church, to be good neighbors, loving their neighbors, to be people who are able to love their enemies. And Lord, in a time where we can maybe only see darkness, we know that you can bring hope and your light. May your people shine brightly in the darkness. Lord, we thank you that we can gather together. That we can gather together in peace without fear here. We think of our brothers and sisters throughout the world who cannot. The violence that continues to be everywhere. Lord, have mercy. Work through your people, work through our hearts. Turn us towards your love and your peace and your hope and your mercy and grace. And friends, I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'll invite our children forward for the children's story. So children, please come forward. That was a good joke this morning. I like to try playing along to see if I can guess what it is. Like a quiz show game. So I have a question, kids, for you guys today. You are always in the process of falling. Have you ever lost something? Yeah. Have you ever lost something? And then what do you do when it's lost? What have you... Well, you pray. We have some good Sunday school kids here, too. Hey, what do you do when you lose something? You look for it. Have you ever lost something and then found it again?
Yes.
Yes?
No.
Yes? No. How did you find it?
By looking for it. By cleaning up by myself.
Oh, by cleaning up. We've got a separate children's sermon here. Yes, cleaning up does help sometimes. What do you do after you find it? Like, how do you feel? Not sure. How do you feel? Do you ever lose something and find it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get that mic away from you before there's something else. Do you know what? This week I actually lost something. I was swimming in the ocean, which we were very happy to be able to go to the beach, and I had glasses on, and I was with Gus, and Gus said, "Daddy, throw me up into the air." And I think to myself, I'm sometimes not a very fun dad, but today I'll be a fun dad. So I threw him up in the air. And he came back and I caught him. But Gus is bigger than I expected, or I should have known. And I fell over. And when I fell over, my glasses fell off. And I came up out of the water. I kept him above water. I fell down and I came up and he's like, "Daddy, your sunglasses." But we were out in the water, so I wasn't sure what to do. So he has some floaties on. I say, "Keep your head above water." You know, careful. And then I kind of tried sweeping under a couple of times, but there weren't any other adults around. And you know what? I never found my glasses. And they were prescription sunglasses, too, that they helped me to see. But what was more important was that I didn't lose Gus. Right? I could have kept going under. I was like, I was trying to look around. And I thought, you know what? It's better to make sure Gus doesn't drown than to find my sunglasses, right? Some things are more important and worth looking for, and sometimes it's okay to let things go when we can't find them. Well, today we're actually going to have a story about things that are lost and then that are found. So maybe as you listen to the story today, think about how that would feel if you were in that situation. Okay, well, let's pray. God, thank you that you are good. Thank you that you help us to find things. Thank you that you are with us even when we can't. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks, guys.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good lead in for the scripture. The parable of the lost sheep. I will be reading from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The parable of the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
as I took Oscar's hand as he was going back, I discovered it was very wet and regretted it immediately. Today, after the message, we're going to try taking questions again. So if you have any questions related to the message or what we're saying today, please save them afterwards, and then hopefully that will help us all learn together. Because that's kind of what Jesus did when he spoke, right? He was outdoors, he could take questions, it was interactive, it wasn't just one direction. So we'll try that today. Who here has ever met a sheep before in real life? Actual sheep, like real sheep. What were those sheep like?
They were noisy.
Smelly, that comes to mind.
Very soft.
Yeah, very soft? Oh, that's nice. Now, I actually have some friends who have raised sheep, because I am from the suburbs, so obviously I did not. And one of my friends, he grew up in Colorado. And he raised his sheep, he fed his sheep, he knew his sheep by name, and he could just whistle, and the sheep would come running to them. They knew he was a good, kind shepherd and came there. But I also have a pastor friend, and he helped raise sheep too. He was finishing the sheep. That means they'd already been raised for a bit, and they would graze on his grass. And we went over, he invited us over, because one of them had some lambs. And he knew that Jen loves baby animals, because Jen is a human being. Of course we love baby animals. So we went over to see the baby animals, and I have to tell you, these were the meanest sheep ever. They stomped at his. He actually tried, my pastor friend, Brett, he picked up the sheep and he was trying to clean it off. The mother hadn't been caring for her sheep properly and it had a lot of dung stuck to its backside and it was really stinky. And I got a great picture of him cleaning it off and making a face.
Yeah.
That makes the sheep look cute and him look, ugh. And we were able to hold the little baby sheep and it was very cute and it had a cute baw and the mother was there trying to butt us with her head and stomp at us the whole time. Even as we cared for the sheep. See, sometimes sheep can be intelligent and know where they're going, and sometimes sheep can be real dumb, right? They are not always the smartest animals. But maybe in those two stories, we recognize that it had less to do with the sheep and more to do with what they thought of their shepherd. Because one shepherd was caring for his sheep and doing all these great things. The other one just was raising them for the slaughter. And within weeks after we were there, they would no longer be around. Different kind of shepherds there. So today's passage includes a parable by Jesus. So parable is in some ways a word that maybe we're familiar with in churches, but parable just means Jesus is telling a story with a reason. There's a purpose behind it. And sometimes when Jesus tells parables, it's not always super clear what he's saying. It'll say in the Bible that he will go and explain that to his disciples in private, but other people don't always understand. When we look at the parables that we have in Luke chapter 15, there's actually three of them. We'll look at mostly the first one today, a little bit at the second. But it starts with a lamb being missing, or a sheep being missing, and a shepherd leaving the 99 to find one. We'll come back to that. Then there's a woman who has lost a valuable coin. It would have been quite a lot of money. A 1 of 10, and she looks for it until she finds it. And then it is a father with 2 sons. So there's this increasing value that is going on in the story. And if we just jump right to the stories, sometimes we can start to squint and try to see other meaning in there that we miss the purpose. Because parables are stories told with a purpose. So when we look at Luke 15, right at the beginning, we get what the purpose is. Jesus had people gathering around him. He was eating at their tables. You would go to someone's house, you would eat at their table. That would kind of mean that you approved of them in some ways, right? That they were your friend. That's how you show if you're a friend or not. You would actually go to their house or you'd have them over. So he was doing that with people that are listed in this passage as sinners and tax collectors. Are any of you tax collectors here? We have weeded them out of our presence. Any sinners here, right? Yeah, watch out. A couple in the back row were really quick to know that they were who they were. So in this context then, we maybe have heard these terms a lot. So a sinner at this time is very much in relationship to these religious leaders who will be grumbling about them. They'll say the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And what we need to hear when we see those names is those are the pastors. Those are the pastors and the religious leaders. And in fact, those would have been normally the heroes in a lot of stories. But in this story, and what's happening in Luke, they aren't, because they are looking at Jesus and they see him meeting with people that they would define as sinners, which includes tax collectors. The reason you wouldn't like tax collectors is obvious to many of us, but also it's because you were of a people group that were conquered by Rome, and you are participating with the conquerors, with this invading army, to collect money to go and support that invading army. So you are working with the enemy in your own land, in some ways against your own people, it was seen. Now, sinners are just going to be people who can't keep all of the rules. Maybe in this passage, think of sinners kind of as a bit more of the simple, normal, everyday folk who realize that life requires us to sometimes get our hands actually dirty in ways that they come up with these religious rules. You just weren't allowed to do all of those things. So the people who'd be seen as sinners would probably be looking at the religious leadership a little more skeptically, thinking like, look, you guys have it all together. You are a bit better off. You're better educated. Of course you can make these rules that you follow. But for those of us living in reality, we're just trying to get by. The sinners and the tax collectors found hope and peace and love in the presence of Jesus. They are gathering, they are going out to see him, to hear him. They want to not just hear him, they want to listen and be changed maybe by his word. There's something about him that is grabbing at them. And in the same way, we have Pharisees and teachers of the law who have noticed there's something different about Jesus, and they are also going to him to hear what he has to say. But they're doing it with a skeptical heart. Right? They're like, we do want to see these sinners and tax collectors turn around, but Jesus is being a little bit more welcoming than we're ready for. Right? Yes, of course, they should repent, but they should turn around and repent in such a way that follows the rules. Like, we have rules and structures, Jesus. We have these set up. There's things they have to do. There's ways that they have to go about things, and you're just going and eating with them and being with them. What's up with that? We don't like that. Who do you think you are? And it is in that situation that Jesus tells these parables. So the first one, which I think we'll focus on, is of sheep. And there's this shepherd. And I love that there's this phrase Jesus uses here. He says, well, there were 99 sheep and one went missing. And it kind of implies, so of course, the shepherd leaves the 99 to find the one. To which everyone there who would probably all know sheep, they would all know shepherds, would go, no, you do not do that. One sheep is not important. The 99 are important. You do not leave the 99 to find the one. This is a mistake. So the shepherd shows lack of wisdom here in that he's leaving the 99. The 99 seem to be okay in his eyes. He doesn't say he's leaving them with someone. I don't know if there's a hierarchy of sheep. This sheep is in charge, not this other sheep. He's leaving them, and he's going to go and search. And there's no timeline for this. It says he searches until he finds that one. And we don't know why that one has left. But what is the shepherd's response when he finds that one? It's joy. It's not just joy. He goes and he picks up that sheep. Maybe he doesn't trust it to follow him back. He picks up the sheep lovingly. He carries that sheep back to the 99 to restore his flock. To restore the one to the 99. To restore the 99 to that one. And then it says he calls all of his friends. I always think it's funny. Whenever I read the word calls, I don't know why. I'm imagining him getting out a cell phone. That is obviously not what's happening. I don't know how you do that in those days. You have to call it. But he calls his friends together so that they can go and celebrate. Because he had 100 sheep. He had lost one for a bit. And he's found it again. And he is just so happy. And Jesus says that's what it's like in heaven. That's what it's like in the kingly courts of God. People are so happy when one returns back. Now, all the teachers of the law, all the Pharisees would agree with that story. We do want one back. But that one knows what it did. Right? See, the trouble for us is when we look at this story, it's easy to go and to look and be like, okay, Jesus welcoming sinners, Jesus welcoming tax collectors, sure, like, you know, those religious people should know better. But there are people who, for our hearts, are tax collectors and sinners. And if we're honest, we're not particularly welcoming to them, are we? Sometimes maybe we miss and we start to see ourselves as this remnant. Like we have stayed here. Maybe as a church community, we have stayed here. We're doing okay. And we miss that there's maybe been that one that has lingered off. And maybe we didn't notice because the 99 are here. Or maybe we have missed the fact that as part of that 99 sheep who are trying to be faithful and, you know, we're showing up, we're being a part of the church, that maybe the reason that one has left is because of how we treated it. Maybe we nipped at it. Maybe we weren't very kind. Maybe we commented on how that sheep was dressed or something like that. You know, maybe we've just missed the fact that one sheep has wandered off and the other 99, no one went with it. We just let it go. Maybe if we're honest with ourselves, part of the problem is that people are pushed away because we are part of the ones who are doing that pushing, instead of being the ones who love. Now, Jesus gives this fantastic example. Same with the parable of the coin. A woman going and sweeping, looking all over until she finds it. It's the same story. Rejoicing again, calling all her friends together. We're going to party. I found that coin again. The joy of finding and bringing back together. When we look to Jesus, we see a good shepherd. When Jesus is telling this story, he's just talking about a good shepherd who goes above and beyond. This good shepherd who goes and looks until he finds. I've got a bug that has found me. Yes, yes, buzz, buzz. Please get out of my collar. All right, we'll see how that goes. Nope, definitely down my shirt. How many Mennonite pastors does it take to dance? One and a bug. Let's see. What is Jesus goes and looks, right? So first it comes that Jesus is the one who notices when someone is missing. Jesus will go and look until that one is found. The shepherd's response is an anger at the sheep for leaving, which maybe if you've ever had kids and they've wandered off and you find them, you're relieved, but you're also like, what were you doing? Why did you do this to me? Yes, we were in a store and you thought you could put your face into the clothes and find Narnia, but I did not know where you were and I was afraid. And then now that responds in anger in some way. But that's not how the shepherd responds. He picks the sheep up gently. He lovingly carries the sheep back. He restores that sheep to the flock and then rejoices, has this party. What I would love for you to know today is that you, as one sheep, are loved. That Jesus will go and leave the 99 to find you, to pick you up and to carry you back in his arms because he loves you deeply. And out of that love, Jesus also invites us to follow his example. To follow his example of welcoming and rejoicing. To follow his example of restoring and bringing that hope. One of the things that I think is hard for us, maybe as church groups, is that we've operated on a very logical but limited system. The idea is that if someone were to come to be a part of us, the first thing they have to do is believe the right things, behave the right way, and then maybe eventually they will belong as part of us. And that makes sense. That's how, you know, we keep people until they go through these right orders. But when we look to Jesus, whenever Jesus is interacting with people, when Jesus is interacting in this story ahead of time, before he tells his parable, what is it that the sinners and the tax collectors experience? they experience belonging first. They experience this love first. And then Jesus is going and having meals with them, and he is inviting them in some ways to then just participate in being alongside him. And then belief comes along the way as they have been loved and belonged, as they have been lovingly invited to participate alongside. Belief comes later. And we operate most often as churches and as Christians on an opposite level to the way that Jesus does. So then as we look to embody the love of Jesus, what are ways we can reach out in love so that other people can belong? There was someone here who was telling me about some of the things that had gone on, and I don't want to call him out. He'll be easy to pick out. He's in leadership, but he was saying, well, I've only been here 10 years, so, you know, it's not really my church, it's their church. I was like, if you've been at a church for 10 years, it is long past being your church, right? Like, you are a part of things deeply. But to still have that feeling like maybe I'm not a part of things, maybe suggest to us that there's something about the way that we have welcomed, that we've had people belong, that keeps them at arm's length instead of bringing them in closely. Who is it that is the one that has left the 99 that you can go and search and find and love and carry and experience the love of Jesus through you? That's what Jesus invites us to do. And then to rejoice. I missed you. You haven't been here in a while. Where have you been? Versus, I'm so glad to see you. I'm just so glad to see you. I've been thinking about you. How are you? Tell me about everything. Welcoming versus accidentally pushing away. Jesus is the good shepherd who leaves the 99 to find the one, and invites us to do the same. Okay, so I tried to keep that shorter. We could talk about coins and other things too. I love talking about parables. The secret to preaching is that you can always go longer. Going shorter is harder. So we'll keep shorter because I'd love to hear from you. Does anyone here have any questions that arise maybe from this passage? I'll remind you to please only ask one at a time.
So, in the story, I think we like to think that it always ends up well with this planning that Jesus is.
Well, prodigal son is in 2 weeks. You hold off on my next sermon before.
Family or aunt, uncle's family, and more than likely, there's a person there.
this. And what do we do in the story? It looks like we kind of get this quick of the one being restored to the 99 and there's rejoicing. What do we do in reality when maybe that's not as easy as the case? Even if we go out and we find that one, that doesn't mean that they come back, right? And so in my application, I've challenged you to be shepherds like Jesus, right? But you are not Jesus. You will be the only Jesus' love that some people will experience. But in the end, the heart of that sheep in that story maybe has to be changed by the good shepherd in ways that we can't do. What we can do is we can also see ourselves as part of that 99. We can be the ones who welcome, like the good shepherd who finds and brings back. And so then we can't be responsible for how, like in Jesus' time there, he's meeting with sinners and tax collectors. Not all of them are going to be excited about his message as he continues to go on, right? Later in some of the stories, it'll talk about Jesus will tell some additional parables and a whole bunch of his followers will go and leave him. That will include the people he loved as sinners and tax collectors. That will include people who he met at their house and things like that. What we can control is how we love, how we welcome, and how we work to help others belong, how we reach out. But in the end, as you're saying, it will come down to the hearts of that one sheep. And maybe in loving them, and you know, as we think about the flock, we are not the entire flock of God. There's lots of little flocks meeting all over this town. Maybe connecting them and loving them in such a way springs up like, oh, well, this other person, this friend of mine invited me to this other place, and maybe they go and they find faith connection somewhere else. Like, that's a win. We are a part of Jesus' kingdom. We are not in competition with churches preaching Jesus. So all we have is what we can control. All we have is what we can do in how we love, and know that we won't always get it right. But we trust that Jesus works through us as a community in ways that even our imperfections somehow are able to carry the love of God to others. Some of that's then the mystery of how the Holy Spirit's working, even in spite of us. Even in spite of the person holding the microphone right now, right? Like my first response to catching Gus when we were in the water wasn't exactly like, oh, good, that was great. It was like, you know, you landed on my face. That hurt. Also, my glasses are gone. Oh, no. But did it matter in the end? No, I can get more glasses. I can get more other things. And what matters is that, no, even in our grumpiness, we're going to catch and do our best to keep them above water if we can. Aaron, I saw you were mercifully raising your hand. Do you still want to ask your question or no? Do you want to do it on microphone? You have to come up on keyboard anyway.
I'm just going to open my Bible app. Oh,
no, I'm going to be Bibled.
No, it's just, so when he says, you know, doesn't he leave the 99 to go after the one? Like, that always made me think that was like the obvious answer. But you're saying that wouldn't have been the obvious answer, so I'm wondering, like, why did he say it that way? Like, that just seems, like, that's always confused me. I was like, oh, I guess that's what shepherds do. But, like, if that's not normal, then why did he say it that way?
Well, yeah, that is a great question. Why would you think Jesus says it that way? I would say because Jesus is a great storyteller at getting his point across. So he is using a way of like, well, doesn't he leave the 99 as a way for his first audience, right? Because this is a story that has lasted 2,000 years and still it still kicks. Especially as it keeps increasing, as we get to the prodigal son, which is a weird title for that. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. So I would say he's saying it in such a way because he's recognizing and challenging the people who are murmuring, who maybe the religious leaders who are murmuring in such a way that if Jesus always seems to kind of know what's going on in people's hearts, so maybe they'd be surprised that he's catching this. Or maybe they're saying it so loud that they know you should hear it, and they're like, ooh. One of the lines that comes up often in the Bible is it'll have the teachers of the law, or whoever the religious institution bad guys are going against Jesus in the story, and it'll be like, they didn't quite understand what Jesus said. But they're mad because they knew it was against them. I don't know what he's saying, but I know it's about us and it's bad. So I think that that's just part of the method of teaching that Jesus is using. I could be incorrect, but it does seem like it would have been, in reading smarter people than I, that wouldn't necessarily have been the case. And especially today for shepherds, like, no, you don't leave the 99 for the one. So we're seeing a value being put on the shepherd there that maybe would cause confusion for people. Because that immediately goes from the story, like, and he leaves the 99, but, well, doesn't he leave the 99 to, like, it inspires us to play along as part of the story. That's what good storytelling does. Doesn't he leave the 99? We'd be like, no! Like, oh, that's interesting. And then looking for the coin, and then if you think one sheep to 99 and one coin to 10 is important, wait till I tell you about a man who just has two sons. Isn't that even more important? So it kind of works in this good storytelling to lead us to this place of, to think. I think so, at least. Yes, young lady in the middle row there.
Thank you.
Do you want a microphone or no?
No, okay. I don't think so. I need to use the microphone. I've been... Okay, or you can repeat.
Sure, if it's short, sure.
If it's short, I know. Just use the mic.
It's okay. They have to come up in a minute anyway.
I love this parable. Pretend we are the sheep. We know it. We know God loves us. We know Jesus. We know that we need to love like Jesus. There are a lot of people that... So we're the sheep. We are inviting the lost sheep are people that don't know Jesus. And we are being invited to love like Jesus to those that we usually don't love, that we judge, that we don't understand why they're doing what we're doing. So therefore, eventually, hopefully, prayfully, those lost sheep will come to know Jesus as well. In other words, they find Jesus. Does that make sense, or am I...
So just for noting in this is not about finding people who don't know God in Jesus' story. It is specifically about people within their Jewish culture, within their religious culture, who are seen as not living up to the standard that they want, and maybe have been pushed away. That doesn't mean what you're saying doesn't apply to a larger sense, but in this story specifically, it's an insider. They're one of us, and we push them out. If that helps. Does that help?
It does, and I love the word you said, murmuring. The murmuring of the people or the sheep left behind. Murmuring. A lot of times people, I'm going to say this, people won't come back because they didn't like the murmuring. That's human nature. There's gossip and all that everywhere. We just need to learn to love like Jesus. No judging. Always being welcoming. If they come back, they come back. If we find them, we find them.
Thank you. Yeah, it is easy, like a lot of things, it's easier to tell the story, it's easier to be the murmurers than it is to be the one going out and doing the hard work of searching and loving and inviting and creating that peace for someone to be a part of things. Maybe to be a part of things again. So Jesus is telling this story specifically to the religious leaders who think that these other people who are a part of their community weren't being religious enough and you shouldn't even associate with them. They're sinners. They're getting it wrong. They vote for the wrong people, right? They're doing the wrong things. They're not doing things right like we are. And so Jesus tells this story to challenge that assumption, to let us know that, well, maybe we can lay that aside and be the ones who search out. Or maybe, as the 99, we shouldn't be murmuring about that one that's getting love and brought back. Well, let's pray, and then we'll have the band come up. Father, thank you that you are good, And we thank you that you are a good shepherd, even to sheep like us. We pray, Lord, that each person here would experience your love. We pray that each of us would give up our murmuring, and that we would be able to be people like you who welcome and love even those people that others might try to push away. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May you know that you are loved. May you go and be loved. Go in God's peace. Amen.